for Brother Dennis brings our lesson to us. If you'd like to read with me, I'll be reading from John the third chapter. John the third chapter. And verse 2 tells us that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto Nicodemus, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?
It's good to see some faces that because of illness we haven't seen in a while. I'm so grateful that you are able to be here this morning. You know, one of my favorite TV shows, and I still get to watch it even after we gave up the cable and the satellite, is This Old House. I enjoy watching something that is old, worn out, and unused, changed into something that is beautiful, sound, and useful. There's a group of superb craftsmen, masters in their field, that go in and to these places. And they don't just show them doing things. They're teaching how they're making these repairs. And I find it very interesting. One of my favorite episodes that I watched was of an old 19th century farmhouse. It was in the outside the Boston, Massachusetts area. And it was built during a time where the barn was built and connected to the house. The center portion of the house, the connector, was used as a common area in the kitchen where they ate their meals. But it also separated the living quarters from the work end of the farm. In every one of the projects that they encompass, they do a careful inspection. And they are looking to expose all of the flaws and the problems that needs to be addressed and fixed. Now this house, including the barn, had a stone foundation. The foundation was in very poor condition. The mortar was crumbling. Some of the rocks had fallen out of place. And on this foundation, the weight of the house rested. Jesus in Matthew 7 in verse 24, he said that a wise man built his house upon a rock. But the foundation wasn't only the only issue with this house. There were many structural issues also that had to be taken care of as the weight of the house was transferred to the foundation by the load-bearing walls. And they also, in this project, put in a new addition. In the final episode, the transformation was complete. The new owners were ready to move in. So what does this old house have to do with us? Can we find the answer to rebuilding the perfect spiritual house that God gave us as babies? Yes, the baby is the perfect spiritual house. No sin, the perfect child. Can we get it from a TV show? The answer, in short, is no. We can't. But we can find similarities in it to see how we can rebuild our spiritual house that is pleasing to God. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5a, he said, Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. if you were to conduct an inspection of yourself, what would you discover? What is the condition of your foundation? Paul in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 9, he said, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Now, I took this a little bit out of context. Paul's talking about rich folks, about their wealth, rich Christians and their wealth and what they do with it. But brethren, riches are not just monetary. There are many other riches that we have. By using the physical to express the spiritual helps us to grasp just how important this foundation is. If our foundation is substandard, how long do you think our spiritual house will stand? In Romans 10 and verse 17, Paul says, by then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. My friends, in your hands today is an outline of today's lessons. The primary reason for the outline is for you to use it to further your study in this subject. It's also to help you so you don't have to jot down so much stuff if you take notes. But the issue is, I do not want you to take my word for anything that I say. I want you to prove, just as the Bereans did with Paul, that what I'm saying is true. We are helping each other to ensure we have a solid foundation. I want your sound foundation to be solid. I want my foundation to be solid. We do that together. If we fail in this endeavor, our spiritual house will crumble and fall. Jesus knew the importance of a strong foundation. The Pharisees had considered themselves to be righteous, but it was a show. In Matthew 23 and verse 27, Jesus compared them to whitewashed sepulchers. A sepulcher is a tomb. It is full of bones and uncleanness. Now, we would never consider living in a tomb, would we? But that's what we have if we don't have a firm foundation. Paul in Ephesians 4 and verse 14, he said that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, by the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Many of us don't look at the Bible as a blueprint, but it is. God gave us a blueprint in building a solid spiritual foundation. In Romans 10 and verse 17, he tells us that faith comes by hearing. In Romans 10 and verse 10, it says that with the heart man believes unto righteousness. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter preached to the multitudes to repent. In Romans 10 and verse 9, Paul wrote that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that God raised him from the dead, that you shall be saved. And Paul wrote in Galatians 3 and verse 27, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Each one of these components by themselves will not make a foundation. You cannot make concrete with cement alone. You need sand. You need the aggregate. You need water. With all of these ingredients that the scriptures say, we have a foundation now upon which we can build a magnificent spiritual house. You know, many years ago, probably about a year or two after my nephew had gotten married, he was living with my sister and her husband, as young couples do sometimes, waiting and getting things prepared. He went and bought himself an old house. Just up the street from my mom. It was a good thing. He was able to look after her. But one of the first things that he did to that house was not move in, but to gut it. He tore every bit of the walls out. He got into the basement, fixed all that stuff in the basement. He was looking and making all the necessary corrections to make sure that it was habitable for many years to come. Now, he was fortunate. He had his dad, my brother-in-law, who worked many years as a carpenter and has built many homes and remodeled many homes to help him. Brethren, it's important to remember that we can't build our spiritual houses alone. It takes all of us working together as a construction crew. We're all sawing and hammering nails. We're all shoring up foundations. As a Christian, certain things happen in conjunction with the new foundation. The foremost thing was that all of the things that were rotten from the house was removed. Sin. We see this very thing in 1 Corinthians 6 and verses 9 through 10. Paul writes here, he says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor coveters, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." But I like what he wrote in verse 11. "And such were some of you. But you are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." The old house was gutted. Everything that was bad was removed. And now it is ready for the construction. Yeah, I had a friend for many years. The only money they had for their house was enough to build the basement. So that's what they lived in, the basement. It took them 20 years to build the rest of the house. But now it is time, with the foundation, time for us to add the plumbing and the electrical and the coverings for the walls to our spiritual house. In 2 Peter chapter 1, in verses 4 through 8, Peter says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." The plumbing, the electrical, the walls, the things that give a house life, the things that allow us to enjoy each and every day. And we have that foundation, that solid foundation. We have the structural components into place. All of our utilities are now in our spiritual house. But the only thing missing now is the roof. Without a roof, you don't have much of a house. You are exposed to all of the elements. A day like today would be pure misery. There's not enough pots and pans in the house to catch all this water. Everything that you have built up to this point will be ruined. There are some who got the foundation and the walls up, but they forgot the roof. But there are also others who have allowed the roof to get into disrepair. Their spiritual houses cannot withstand the storms of life. Many forget that Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 20, that He is with you always, even unto the end of the world. Yes, He was talking to His apostles, but Jesus does not love His apostles more than He loves you. He would not give one promise to one and not to another whom He loves. That roof is God in Christ. This roof helps us to endure the storms of life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23 and going through verse 27, Paul writes, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I suffered shipwreck. A night and day I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." You know, in Acts chapter 9 and verse 15, Jesus told Ananias that Paul was going to suffer a lot for him. How many people throw yourself in the mix do you know that could withstand all these things that Paul did? Only in the movies, friends. Only in the movies. You would think that Paul would have become so discouraged that he would have said, "Enough is enough. I'm done." He continued on to the very end. He willingly and gladly laid his neck on that chopping block. He was not afraid. The point is that Paul had a solid roof on his spiritual house in God and Jesus Christ. And yes, his spiritual house suffered the storms of life. It beat relentlessly on his house. But he had a strong foundation. He had the structural elements of his spiritual house were fully developed to carry the load. And he had God sheltering him from all of life's trials. You can believe he had some shingle damage. We see this in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. The thorn in the flesh. What did Jesus say to him? "My grace is sufficient for thee." His spiritual house, to the very end, when he vacated that spiritual house, was solid, structurally sound. Can we say the same thing about our spiritual house? When the storms of life are beating on our spiritual house, are we evacuating? Have we abandoned our house? Have we got it into such a condition that we can no longer live in it? I hope not. I hope not. But brethren, the simple truth is that many of our spiritual houses are in disrepair. Just having a firm foundation is not always enough. we have to continue to make improvements on our spiritual house. We must fill our house with love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And yes, many of you recognize that as the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 6 and verses 22 and 23. But this is where we get our house to stand tall and strong. We need to make repairs through repentance. Yes, the termites are going to get in occasionally. You're going to have a boar bee somewhere along, shape or form. It's going to come in and just start chomping away. The screens are going to get torn. The windows are going to break. And yeah, sometimes the storm's going to take some shingles off. But we have to repair that damage. We must work to remove the damage that we have allowed to happen to our spiritual house. Yes, we had a choice. We allowed it to happen. We allowed it to happen. Only then can we have a spiritual house worthy of living in. Where do you stand in your spiritual house today? How is your foundation? Is your foundation built upon the hearing and believing and repenting and confessing and baptism? Because that is all of the mix in the concrete that gives you a solid foundation. That is the cement, the aggregate, the sand, the water. Without that and all those ingredients, the foundation will not hold up to the weight that it will bear. If you are not a child of God, if you have not obeyed the gospel, we want to give you that opportunity this morning. An opportunity to be able to build a spiritual house that you can move into and be proud of. That'll get you through life's storms. We want to give you the opportunity. There's nothing magical about the water behind me. It is a burial. It is a cleansing, not of the filth of the flesh, but of a good conscience. It is something that God has commanded for the remission of sins. When you come up out of that water, you'll be white as snow. Maybe you are a child of God, but your house is in disrepair. You've allowed it to get to the point that God is not hearing your prayers anymore because you have built a wall between you and Him. You've turned your back on Him, maybe. Maybe it's the trials of life has gotten you down and wore you out. If you need to repent in a public way, if it's something that has brought reproach to the church, we want to give you that opportunity. But if it's between you and God, He hears the penitent heart. He will forgive. He will erase it. It will be gone, stricken from the records. If anyone has a desire this morning, we want to give you that opportunity as together we stand and we sing, if you'll come forward.